Dear colleagues, I am Christoph Diener, a neurologist from the University of Duisburg-Essen in Germany. And this month I have 5 new studies within neurology. The first one was published in the New England Journal of Medicine, and these are the results of the reverse AD study. Patients on dabigatran for the prevention of stroke in atrial fibrillation can have major bleeding complications. And there is now a new reversal agent called idarizumab, which reverses dabigatran. Reverse AD was an open study in 503 patients. 301 had a major bleeding and 202 required urgent surgery. The study showed that with the reversal agent, the activity of dabigatran is neutralized within 10 minutes. A very important result for neurologists. The mortality of intracranial bleeds was only 16% compared to the RELY study, where the reversal agent was not available. There, the mortality of intracranial bleeds was, depending on the dose of dabigatran, between 35 and 41%. So it seems that with the help of the reversal agent, we can reduce mortality in dabigatran-induced intracranial bleeds. The second study was published in Stroke. This is a meta-analysis of 5 randomized trials which compared endarterectomy and stenting in patients with asymptomatic carotid stenosis. There were 3,019 patients in the meta-analysis. What the meta-analysis showed that there was a strong trend for an increased risk of periprocedural stroke and death for stenting compared to endarterectomy. The relative risk was 1.84 and 1.72, though this would favor endarterectomy. What unfortunately was never really investigated, whether best medical therapy might perhaps be at least equivalent or superior to either endarterectomy or stenting, and this study is ongoing. The third study was published in Lancet Neurology. It investigated an 80 mg dose of simvastatine in patients with secondary progressive MS. The first publication showed that this treatment has no impact on the cause of the disease. In this sub-study, the investigators looked at neuropsychological tests, depression scales, and quality of life. What they could show that already at baseline, 45% of these patients have impaired frontal lobe function. And over 2 years, there is a clear worsening of verbal and nonverbal memory. Now, what the study shows that only 2 out of many outcome parameters were improved with simvastatin. This was the frontal assessment battery and the physical component of the SF-36. So I think the bottom line is that simvastatin has no real benefit in patients with secondary progressive multiple sclerosis. The fourth study, published in the New England Journal of Medicine, investigated patients with giant cell arteritis. The standard of care here is prednisone, but these are elderly patients and side effects for long-term treatment are a major problem. So the investigators looked at tocilizumab, which is an interleukin-6 receptor alpha inhibitor. They recruited 251 patients, and these patients either received 162 milligrams subcutaneous weekly or every other week of the interleukin-6 receptor alpha inhibitor or placebo. They looked at both sustained remission and the sparing of prednisone. Now, sustained remission after 12 months was achieved in 56% of patients with tocilizumab compared with only 14 to 18% with placebo, and the cumulative prednisone dose was reduced by almost 50%. Now, this is very encouraging, but unfortunately, this drug is extremely expensive. So in practical terms, I think in patients who need an ongoing high dose of prednisone, we would first use methotrexate or azathioprine to save prednisone. The last study has a major impact in pain therapy. This study was published in JAMA Neurology. This was a population-based cohort of patients with painful polyneuropathy who were either treated with opioids or they were not treated with opioids. This study was done in the United States. The study recruited 2,892 patients who were treated with long-term opioids compared with 14,435 patients with polyneuropathy who did not have an opioid as a treatment option. Well, in terms of physical impairments, they couldn't show a difference between patients treated with opioids or not treated with opioids. But what they saw was a clear increased risk of adverse outcomes with opioids. This included depression, opioid dependence, and opioid overdose. And this is becoming a major problem, not only in painful polyneuropathy, but also in chronic low back pain. I think until 10 years ago, we were very reluctant to prescribe long-acting opioids for non-cancer pain. But now the tendency is moving in the other direction. I think there is now an overuse of opioids in non-cancer pain, and we have to select these patients very carefully. Ladies and gentlemen, five interesting new studies in neurology, which were published in July of 2017. I'm Christoph Diener from the Department of Neurology at the University of Duisburg-Essen in Germany, and thank you very much for watching.